CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bassler. Bill Rogeau is here of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And we've looked at the Afghan map, which is not going, Afghanistan map, which is not going in the direction of success for the Kabul government. Kandahar is under siege. We've considered the neighborhood, Delhi preparing for worst possible, Moscow preparing for worst possible. We could touch the other capitals, Islamabad, Tehran, Beijing. No one's preparing for success after this. The U.S., what's it preparing? Seth Jones has recommendations. The first is to keep up the flow of cash and equipment into Afghanistan going forward. This under the umbrella of armed overwatch. The first option is to feed the war machine. The United States should provide at least $3 billion a year in aid to Afghan security forces to fight the Taliban. The rough amount it is paying today and what will be needed in the future to sustain the infrastructure. Bill, is money going to do it for the Afghan National Army?
No, it's not, John. I mean, we've thrown money at this problem year after year after year. Things like training take time. How is this going to happen? You know, the question that has to be asked, one of the questions that has to be asked, how bad is the U.S. military at training foreign militaries? Didn't work so well in Iraq. We saw the Islamic State rampage. Not working real well in Somalia. And obviously is working very poorly in Afghanistan. So how are we going to do this remotely? How is just throwing money at training, which takes years and years to show results, when the Afghans are in a fight for their lives right now? I don't understand how throwing money at this problem is going to fix it. This is – but people in D.C. like throwing money at problems, so I suspect that this is – this proposal
comes up. Yes, and $3 billion is a rounding error. So we go to a second recommendation by Seth Jones, part of Armed Overwatch, which is to fly regular missions, striking targets and gathering intelligence, and basing out of perhaps Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, and getting the cooperation of Russians who are worried about this, also basing aircraft out of the Indian Ocean. Are airstrikes going to be capable of stemming the advance as we see in Kandahar?
Airstrikes, before I get to the issue of basing, airstrikes alone – we were doing these prior to the U.S. leaving. All it did was keep the Taliban from taking control of major cities. Now what the Taliban has done, before they were in, like, say, the second level from the cities, they were two districts over. Now they're right next door to the cities. They've surrounded multiple major cities. Airstrikes alone will not dislodge the Taliban. You need infantry. You need ground forces to do this. And, you know, can the Afghan military do this? Their commandos and special forces are pretty good, but it's only a small percentage of the actual military. I'm reading report after report of special forces and Afghan commandos complaining about the reliability and utility of the regular army troops that NATO has trained, saying they're not willing to fight. When they do it poorly. They abandon positions. They're just not tactically sound. They create bigger problems. They abandon positions once they're taken at the first sign of the Taliban, baring its teeth. So there's that issue. I'm just not, airstrikes might stop the Taliban from taking a city. Airstrikes might also increase civilian casualties, which will be put on the U.S. back. And airstrikes launched from the Middle East, from the Persian Gulf, or from aircraft carriers are going to be extremely expensive. Very, very expensive. If you were going to do this, you should have kept a base or two in Afghanistan. Basing in Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan or Uzbekistan, it's just not going to happen. This is a pipe dream. The Russians are not going to approve the U.S. influence. Remember, the U.S. was kicked out of Kyrgyzstan, what, a decade ago?
Right, right.
Why should we expect that to change? The Russians are going to do what they have to do to keep those borders secure. The last thing they want is more U.S. influence in the region. It supported the Taliban again to a far lesser degree than Pakistan and Iran, but did so because it hoped the U.S. would be defeated in Afghanistan as a little bit of payback.
The third part of Armed Overwatch is special operations, CIA, U.S. military training and equipping Afghan forces, allied militias in Afghanistan. Is the special operations forces under Title 50 of the United States Code, a federal law that allows U.S. military forces to conduct covert operations in support of the CIA. Is that capable of sustaining the Kabul government, knowing there can a strike can come in the night?
That's a lifeline. Again, it might halt the Taliban advance, but I don't think it's going to be enough to retake the territory that needs to be retaken to get the Afghan government back in a position where it can actually rule significant portions of the country. So prior to this, my estimate was the Taliban controlled 73 of those 407 districts. Today we have it at around over 220. I got to run the numbers this morning. So they tripled the amount of territory they controlled, and that happened as soon as the U.S. left. The other thing too is the Taliban are going to start targeting those CIA and special operations forces. The president wants out of Afghanistan. They want to leave. They're saying they're going to end air support, very likely end air support after August 31st when the U.S. wants to be completely out of Afghanistan. And now we're going to expect the U.S. government to put CIA and special forces inside of Afghanistan when there wants to be when the Biden administration wants to disengage. Remember, he does not want any involvement in this war. I think this is a complete misread of the situation. If he didn't want to be in this position, he wouldn't have announced the complete withdrawal. The real solution to all this, John, by the way, would have been a phased withdrawal announced to the Afghans, giving them deadlines and saying, we're leaving by this date. You need to have this accomplished, and this accomplished, and maybe set up something like private military contractors to do the maintenance, maybe even have them fly an Air Force and help train the Afghan forces and could fund that. But done all this on a withdrawal timeline, all of this other stuff is just a way to get the U.S. to re-engage in a war that it wants to, that its president wants to disengage from.
Bill, my thought now, right now, Kandahar's under attack by the Taliban. Do they have the forces yet to hold that city, or is this draining resources from and introducing doubts? We have about 30 seconds. How do you read the strategy of this?
Yeah, the Taliban, so the situation in the South is so bad that I don't see how the government would be able to reorganize to retake it. They don't need a lot of forces to hold it. They will need a significant number to take it. But they've had this offensive on Kandahar and over a dozen other capitals ongoing for the last month now, and they haven't relented. But the Taliban certainly has its concerns. Has it overreached? Is it overextended its lines? We don't know the answer to that, but I suspect they've calculated this and they have the resources to take and hold cities, particularly in the South, where everything surrounding Kandahar, everything surrounding Lashkargah is Taliban controlled.
Bill Rajo, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal, which is a tale of woe. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.